إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, if somebody asks me to describe the fundamental principle of Islam in one word, that word would be justice, adl. Justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, in the famous ayat of Surah An-Nisa, which when it was displayed in Harvard Law School, everybody sent around, people sent around messages and WhatsApp messages and emails and so on, saying, see, the Americans recognize that Islam puts justice before everything else, because the ayat says, Allah says, stand for justice against yourself. The ayah begins with that. Stand for justice against yourself. Means what? Means if you are being unjust, make tawbah and correct that thing, whatever you are doing. Allah said, stand for justice against yourself. And He said, against your own fathers and brothers and mothers and sisters. It starts from there. And then, of course, against whatever. So, justice. So, people sent around this message and, everyone is so happy to say, see, the Americans recognize. But the question is, do you recognize? As a Muslim, do you recognize what is the value of justice? Let the Americans recognize or not recognize, it doesn't make any difference. What makes a difference is, do you recognize, and then do you hold yourself accountable for it? Because Allah will hold you accountable, wallahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah jalla jalaluhu made injustice. Allah said, I have made injustice, I have prohibited injustice on myself. I have made zulm. What is the opposite of adil? Zulm. And very interesting how the Arabs, and in the Arabic language, how zulm is defined. Zulm is actually to do anything which is inappropriate to the situation. For example, if you take your shoes and put it on a table, that is zulm on the table. The table is not, it's not a human, it's not a living being. But the place for the shoes is not on top of the table. So if you take the shoes and put it on top of the table, then this is zulm. If, for example, you want to polish your shoes and you can't find anything, and the only thing that is there is a topi, is your headgear, and you say, well, this I can always wash it. So let me just clean my shoes with the topi. This is zulm. It is zulm on the topi. So it goes to that level of granularity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah has prohibited zulm on himself, that Allah will not do zulm on anybody. Allah said about the day of judgment, la zulm al yawm. Allah said, no zulm will be done on anybody, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-adil. Allah does adil, Allah does justice, Allah is just. And therefore, justice is something which is the fundamental principle of Islam. That is the reason why we have la ilaha illallah. Why is shirk? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that Allah will forgive every sin except shirk if somebody dies on it? While you are alive, you can make tawbah for shirk as well as everything else. We are not talking about that. We are saying if you actually die not having made tawbah for your sins, then despite the fact that you have not made tawbah, we do not close the door and say that if somebody, did not make tawbah for drinking alcohol, or if he didn't make tawbah for some other sin that he was committing, that Allah will not forgive him. We cannot make this statement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He will forgive everything, and it is up to Allah. Allah can forgive that. But Allah said, Allah specifically mentioned and said that He will not forgive shirk. Why? Because shirk is zulm. It is zulm on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The biggest zulm, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship, and somebody is joining a partner with Him, or somebody is worshipping somebody else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is not worthy of that worship. And therefore, this is zulm on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So therefore, this zulm is a very critical thing that we should think about. And a couple of things I want to mention. Firstly, one of the things that I hear from a lot of Muslims, not only in the West, but also here, but in the West, it's kind of seems to be more visible, which is that there is this mistaken conception in the minds of people that they can do what is prohibited in Islam as long as they are not doing it to Muslims. That they can do what is prohibited in Islam as long as they are not doing it to Muslims. For example, if you go to a regular 7-Eleven shop in London or you go to a 7-Eleven shop in New York, you will find there is beer, there are ham sandwiches, so there's pork being sold. In many cases, there is pornographic literature. There are all these glossy magazines, and the store is owned by a Muslim. So if you ask him, he said, yeah, Sheikh, how do you sell this stuff? I mean, this is haram. You know, how can you sell alcohol? You know it is haram. How can you sell pork? He said, no, I'm selling it only to non-Muslims. I'm not selling it to Muslims. First of all, that claim itself is ridiculous because there is no way of monitoring. After all, he's not asking for some identification before he sells it. But irrespective of that, the fact remains that Islam prohibits the selling of alcohol. Period. Islam does not prohibit the selling of alcohol to Muslims. It prohibits the selling of alcohol. Whether the person is a Muslim or not a Muslim has no consideration. And this is the demand of justice. Justice is that which applies to everyone across the board. And that is why Islam is a religion which is based on the law. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made himself subject to that law. If there was anybody who could have said that I and my family are above the law, this was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, I am the one who brought the law, therefore I am not subject to the law. If he had said this, then this would have been justified. One would have said, we could have argued in favor of that, and we could have said, after all, this is unique to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not for everybody else, and therefore he is the one who brought the law. But Islam does not, and this was incidentally, this was and continues to be the injustice of kings, where the king is considered to be above the law. And this is the beauty of Islam, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made himself subject to the law, and therefore there are not one but several incidents in Islam where during the various, I'm not even talking about khilafah of the Khulafa Rashida, there is an incident there also which I will tell you in a minute, but even among other people where the king was brought to the court and the qadi gave a ruling against the king. Now imagine the court and the qadi is actually answerable to the king, to the khalifa, but when the case was brought against the khalifa was brought before the qadi, and the qadi ruled against the khalifa. Now, how did that happen? Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the law is supreme. The lawgiver is not Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The lawgiver is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And therefore, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am also subject to the law. The most famous incident of that is with respect to this lady from the Quraysh who was accused of theft. And then after due process, she was pronounced guilty. But she was from a very influential family. Her name was Fatima. So this lady was brought to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the people, they actually came to Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, who was a very favorite sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was almost like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grandson, because he was the son of Zayd bin Haritha, who Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam at one point had given him the name Zayd bin Muhammad, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran and said that there is no adoption in Islam. So Usama bin Zayd, they came to him and they said, please recommend to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he should be lenient with this lady, and he should not sentence her for her hand to be cut, which is the punishment in Islam. When Usama bin Zayd attempted to say that and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized what he was saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed face became red with anger. And he said that you want me to change the law of Allah? Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu said, the earth, you know, sort of shook under my feet. And I was so sorry for having accepted this thing from the people to go and recommend to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then came into the masjid, he gave a khutbah, and he said that if this Fatima was Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would have still prescribed the same punishment. If it was my daughter, I would have prescribed the same punishment. So this lady's hand was cut, and later on, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said that this lady, she healed and all that, of course, and then later on, Sayyidah Aisha said that she used to come to Sayyidah Aisha, and she was a friend of hers, and she used to come, and sometimes she would ask her to, clarify certain matters with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so on and so forth. Point I'm making is that the issue of justice, and the issue to which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced justice, including on himself. In the Khilafah of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, there is a very famous case where a man, Sayyidina Ali, lost a suit of chain mail of, you know, armor, and he found it in the shop of a Jewish pawnbroker, and so he accused him of theft, and this case went to court, and Sayyidina Ali was called, and this is during his Khilafah. He is the Khalifa, so the judge called him, the Qadi called him, so he came. And the Qadi said, prove that this thing belongs to you. You are saying that the man stole it, so you have to first prove that this is yours. So Sayyidina Ali said, I have my son Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma, and I said, I will produce my son as a witness. The Qadi said, sorry, your son is not acceptable as a witness because he is your son. So Sayyidina Ali said, then I have my slave and I will produce him, because he used to clean the thing and so on, he can recognize it. The Qadi said, your slave is not acceptable as a witness. Now imagine, this is the Khalifa. And is Sayyidina Ali known to be somebody who tells lies? Is Sayyidina Hassan known to be somebody who tells lies? The judge, the Qadi said, it's not a question of your reputation. The issue is, in a court of law, your son or your slave or your wife is not acceptable as a witness. So Sayyidina Ali said, then I have no other witness. So he threw the case out. He said, sorry, then you have not proved your ownership of this thing. So obviously, if you don't own it, it can't be stolen from you. So he threw out the case. When he threw out the case, when they went out of the court, this guy who, the Jewish pawnbroker, he had not stolen it. Somebody stole it and gave it to him. So he came to Sayyidina Ali and he said, is this your justice? Sayyidina Ali said, yes. So he said, what do you say about this justice? Sayyidina Ali said, Alhamdulillah. He said, Alhamdulillah, this is justice. He said, you are not complaining? He said, no, I'm not complaining. He said, you are the Khalifa. I said, even if I'm the Khalifa, I'm still not complaining, because this is justice. Alhamdulillah, the Qazi has done the right job. So the Jewish man said, you are sure? He said, I'm sure. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. He said, then I accept this religion, because this is the correct religion. As a result of this court case. Why? Issue of justice. Another incident. A man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was a very poor man. He came and said, Ya Rasulullah, please help me, I have no money. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go to Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. The man went to Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. It was getting dark, towards dusk. And as he was about to knock on the door, he heard the voice of Uthman ibn Affan from inside the house radiallahu anhu, saying to his wife, turn down the wick of the lamp. It is burning too much oil. So this man now thinks that, what kind of a man did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam send me to? He's so stingy, he's telling his wife to turn down the wick of the lamp. I mean, how many drops of oil is this lamp going to burn? So he thought to himself, what is the point in even asking him anything? What will he give me? So he turned around, he didn't even knock on the door, he turned around and he walked away. When he went for a little while, then he thought to himself, after all, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me, let me go and knock on the door, let me see what happens. So he came back. He knocked on the door, said, then Uthman opened the door. The man said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me and I'm a very poor man, I need your help. So Sayyidina Uthman told him, hold on a minute. He went inside, he brought some keys, he took him across to a big warehouse. And he opened the door of the warehouse and he told the man, take whatever you want, and when you are finished, lock the thing and bring the key back to me. And he walked off. The man said, hold on, he waited. He said, what happened? He said, I have got a question. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu said, what question? He said, I was here a little while ago and I overheard you telling your wife to put down the lamp because it is burning too much of oil. Now when I come and ask you to give me, and I'm asking you for sadaqah, I'm asking you to give me for free, you open the whole warehouse and you tell me, take whatever you want. I can empty the warehouse, technically speaking, based on your word. So how do, on the one hand you are a stingy man, on the other hand your generosity is such that I can't even understand. How is this possible? Sayyidina Uthman said, what's so difficult to understand? That lamp I'm using for myself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question me for what I use for myself. This I'm spending in the path of Allah. Allah will give me reward for this. Why should I worry about it? Issue of justice. Final point before I close. you might say, well, you know, this is true of the Khulafa-e Rashida, this is true of the Sahaba, this is true of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are ordinary people. Let me give you an example of one of our elders, Sayyid Sulaiman Nadvi rahmatullah alayh. Sayyid Sulaiman Nadvi rahmatullah alayh used to carry two fountain pens in his pocket. One fountain pen he would use for his official work. And if he had to write a letter of a personal nature for himself, he would use the other fountain pen. He would not even use the ink of the organization which he was heading. He would not even use that fountain pen. He would not even use that ink to write his personal letter. He used to carry two fountain pens. He used to use his personal fountain pen and the ink for his own personal letter. Now, why am I saying all this? Because, as I mentioned before, the issue of selling to non-Muslims and so on and so forth, similarly issue of transactions, similarly issues of, you know, we give our word for something. Please understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the ayah which is actually the longest ayat of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the issue of recording of a transaction and why it is important. Please understand, in Islam, the recording of the transaction is only as a matter of procedure. It does not sanctify the transaction. It's only a matter of procedure. Why? Because I may have an agreement with Hafiz bhai on some matter, and we know what we have agreed, and tomorrow I die, and then my warasa, my inheritors, they don't know what this agreement was. So even if Hafiz bhai is doing justice to me, they might still suspect him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, avoid all this, write it down, because others don't know. But the agreement itself between me and Hafiz bhai has nothing to do with the paper. Once we have agreed, that agreement is binding on him and is binding on me, irrespective of whether it was written or not written. So I cannot sort of have a deal with him. Supposing I say I want to buy your car, right? And we agree on a particular price. And after that, when I come to buy the car, he said, no, I sold it already. Why? Because somebody gave me 10 rupees more. Doesn't work like that. Once we have agreed on something, irrespective of whether it was written or not written down, it is binding on both parties. And it is binding before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the witness. And this ayat, Allah said, if nobody is there, Allah is the witness. Allah is the witness anyway, but the point being that, in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the witness. Whether or not it was written down is immaterial. This is the justice of Islam. This is the justice of Islam. And that is why Rasulullah in one hadith, Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive everyone in my ummah except the ones who do zulam. And zulam, believe me, is not only murdering somebody. Zulam is not only slandering and assassinating somebody's character. Zulam is not only rape and torture and so on. The biggest zulam which we do is with regard to transactions. And a transaction does not have to be worth crores of rupees or, you know, billions of... A transaction can be worth literally 1 cent. A transaction is a transaction, irrespective of the value of the transaction. A transaction is a transaction, irrespective of who you are doing with. Please understand this point of Islam very clearly. Islam does not differentiate between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. Islam does not differentiate with respect to the value of the transaction. No. No differentiation. Whether it's the value of the transaction, whether it's a big transaction, whether you are buying, you know, big lands or this or that, or whether you are buying some fancy thing, or whether you are buying a topi which is worth 10 riyal, mixed note is with this in Islam, that is a transaction. Irrespective of the value of the transaction, it is sacrosanct, it is sacred before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you dishonor that transaction, if you do not do that transaction as you agreed, you are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will not forgive unless that man forgives. And believe me, on the day of judgment, nobody is going to forgive you. Make no mistake whatsoever. Your own mother will not forgive you. Forget about anybody else. So the transaction does not depend on its magnitude, and the transaction does not depend on who you did it with. Whether it was with a Muslim or a non-Muslim, whether it was a rich man or a poor man, whether it was with a government or yourself. For example, many people feel that if you are living in a non-Muslim country, you can fudge your taxes, because you say, well, the tax is going to a non-Muslim government, I am paying zakat. Sorry, it doesn't work like that. If you are a citizen of that country, you have a transaction. You have a passport based on a declaration that you have given directly or indirectly to the government to say that I am a citizen of this country and I will obey the law of this land. If you don't like a law, if you think the law is unjust, then follow due process and get the law changed. Go to parliament, do whatever you have to do, get the law changed. Until the law is not changed, until the law is changed, that law applies. And if the law says that you have to pay a certain amount of income tax, whether you consider it to be just or unjust before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, that is an obligation you have to fulfill. And you can't come back and say, but you know, they are all, the government is stealing my money and I am paying so much of taxes, but see the road and see this condition, see that condition. None of that applies. None of that applies. Your transaction with the government is that you will pay income tax. Your transaction is not, I will pay income tax provided the road is repaired. That is not the transaction. Your transaction is, I will pay income tax. By all means, you can save tax using the permissible means, whatever the means are, as long as they are permissible in the Sharia and with the law, you can use the means to save the tax. You can't use the means to evade tax. You can't use the means to fudge the tax. This is the beauty of the justice of Islam. With a non-Muslim government, I mean, Muslim government is a different matter, but the non-Muslim government, it doesn't matter whether the government is Muslim or non-Muslim. You have a transaction with the government, you have agreed to something, you are supposed to honor your word. I remind myself and you, please be very careful with transactions, because you don't want to be in a situation where on the day of judgment you are going to be humiliated. And believe me, no amount of other stuff you may have done. For example, you say, well, you know, I may have fudged a transaction, but, you know, I donated $10 million to Gaza. You can donate $10 billion to Gaza. If you owed somebody 10 rial, Allah will hold you responsible for that. If you did not complete a transaction, or you did something wrong in a particular transaction worth 10 rial to somebody, even though you donated 10 billion somewhere else, that does not cancel out this. Please understand, this is not, you are not doing Allah any favor by charity or by building masajid or by making people's homes or hospitals or whatever. You are not doing any favor to Allah. You and your wealth belongs to Allah anyway. It's not a favor if you are giving somebody what already belongs to him. Kiske Allah pe kya ehsaan kare, aapki jaan bhi Allah ki, aapka maal bhi Allah ka. Humne Allah ke raah mein kharch kiya, kya kharch kiya? Tumhara tha kharch karne ke liye. Allah ka tha, Allah ko diya to kaun sa kharch kiya? Wo to Allah ki rehmat hai, Allah tbaraka taala uske upar bhi aapko ajr deta hai, wo to Allah ki rehmat hai. Nobody is doing any favor to Allah subhanahu wa taala. This is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits you to spend what He gave you and what belongs to Him anyway. And He is giving ajr for that. That does not cancel out the issue of the transactions. If you have been unjust, whether it is to your servant, whether it is to your wife and children, whether it is to your husband, whether it is to your friends, whether it is to your customers and clients, whether it is to the government of the country that you live in, whether it is to rich or poor, whether it is to Muslim or non-Muslim, injustice is injustice, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold that person accountable and Allah will punish. Allah has the right to forgive. I do not deny that. I am just telling you what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said and what the Nabi of Allah said. Allah has the right to change that. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not denying anyone the rahmah of Allah. But I am saying that let us be very clear in our minds. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he will punish. And Allah said, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Every cent, smallest thing will be shown to you on the day of judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from humiliation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the sense to do what we know we must do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be just in our dealings and our transactions. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live lives which will not be a source of humiliation for us on the day of judgment. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.